Hello, this is author and artist Bunny Michael. We all have a higher self, and we can access our higher self once we start unlearning the false beliefs from our culture and our trauma that taught us we're not enough. So get cozy and join us as I answer listeners' questions and we all unlearn from each other's problems. Welcome to XO Higher Self. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Hope that you've been hanging in there and been really nice to yourself, or at least trying to be. I've been trying to be nicer to myself. It's something I've really been focusing on lately. And it's not always easy, especially when you have big things going on, you know, things that are really important to you, maybe in your career or your relationship. And so you're really wanting to like do well and be your best self. And we tend to think of being your best self or the best version of yourself as being like really good at your job or perfectly healing or being completely compassionate and loving in all of your relationships all of the time or never making a mistake. Like that's what we're aiming for. But really, being your best self from the higher self perspective is giving yourself love and compassion for wherever you are in the stage of your growth and your healing, because we don't always get it right and we don't always align with our most courageous side. And a lot of times we deal with pain and trauma and we're still unlearning our learned hierarchical beliefs and we're still in the process of awakening. So it's really important to be able to distinguish what our higher selves want from us. Our higher selves don't need us to be at the end of our growth. They don't want us to just love ourselves or accept ourselves once we've reached a certain point. It's not about climbing a mountaintop. It really is about embracing and accepting and loving yourself at every moment of the journey and knowing that you have always been whole, you've always been enough. And when you're grounded in that truth, you realize, oh, it's not about becoming my best self. It's that I have always been my best self. I am just in the process of becoming more aware of that. And the more compassion I give myself, the more love, the more patience, the more kindness, it's actually a lot easier for me to be in that awareness. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to work on now because I have a lot of goals in my life, as I'm sure a lot of you do. I really take my relationships seriously. I want to be a loving person, a loving partner, a loving friend, a loving sister, a loving, you know, family member. I want to like have no regrets. You know, I want to always show up for people when I can. I want to be nice to myself. I have all of these things, right, that I consider to be part of what I really think is ideal for my life to cultivate in my life. But guess what? Some days just do not go down that way. Some days I wake up and I just feel crappy and I can't always get myself out of that bad feeling. And in those moments, that's when I realized the actual higher self perspective in that moment is like, hey, wait a minute. Like, you can have a bad day. You can be in a bad mood. You can feel negative sometimes. You can feel really tired some days. And the more like compassion I give myself in those moments, actually, it really doesn't feel as bad. We don't realize we're adding this extra layer of anxiety and stress and fear on top of whatever's going on in our life by how much we judge ourselves for our struggle. We really do this all of the time. And it's wild to me sometimes when I really see it and I kind of take a deep breath like, I'm okay. Like, it's such a big feeling of relief to just kind of let it go. Like, let go of always needing to have it together, of needing to have everything figured out and planned and on schedule, of always having to like be perfect and say exactly the right thing or you know, do the thing that we wanted to do. Like sometimes there just isn't time. There just isn't time sometimes. And sometimes the lesson that the universe is really trying to teach us is to just be present. And in this present moment, the only real answer is love. That's it. That when it all boils down to it, all of these things that we try to accomplish, all of this stuff, all of these goals mean nothing without love. And love is accessible at every moment. Love is part of who we are. Love is who we are. Love is within us. And we so often forget that we're actually in it right now. It's right now. Now, I've heard people say that the present moment is God's time. And whether or not you use the word God or not in your spiritual practice or your healing practice, what it's really saying is that every moment is the present moment. Every moment is an opportunity to start fresh. Every moment you're here. And that's not very articulate, but it's true. There is nothing that could happen in the future or happened in the past that can keep you from just acknowledging, hey, I'm good. Like, this is all I need to be. All I have to be is me. This is who I was created to be. This is who I am. This is enough. And I don't always have to be like striving all of the time to just be constantly trying all of the time to be more. We think we need to be more than who we are, and we don't. And that's not even real. That's not even a real concept. It's okay to have goals. It's okay to have dreams. It's okay to have plans. But you're never going to be more than who you are, because you are everything. You are it all. You are one with everything. You are it. We are part of everything, and everything is part of us. So there is no more. We just are. And when we realize that, it's like so much more peaceful. And we think, oh gosh, I can't believe I was so mad at myself because I didn't, I don't know, organize my closet or something. Like, or maybe I said something that I wish I hadn't said. Well, now's now. And that was then. And now I can give myself grace. I always can give myself grace. So a few episodes ago, maybe it was a couple months ago, I think, I talked about how I wanted to implement more play in my daily life and how important I thought play is to our joy, our happiness, our healing, and how we don't outgrow our need for play. And that I really wanted to find new things to do in my life that were fun, that didn't have anything to do with my career or, I don't know, my chores or anything like that. And I also asked if any of you had tips for things to do for play, things that you did that you really enjoyed. And we got a DM to the EXO Higher Self Instagram account from a listener sharing what they like to do for their play. And I just thought it was so cool and so inspiring. I really wanted to share it with you right now. All right, so here's the message. It says, "Hi, Bunny. I love how you brought up the benefits of play in your latest episode. One of my favorite play activities is freeform wandering around in nature, collecting items and making ephemeral arts and crafts with them, as in mosaics or little sculptures made of beach glass, shells, wood, and rocks, making fairy houses or little scenes out of leaves, moss, twigs, pine cones, making mandalas out of fallen flowers, and then just leaving them there. Sometimes I'll take a picture, but often will just enjoy the process of finding and collecting things that catch my eye and playing with them however I feel inspired at the place and time." There's a whole rabbit hole on IG for these creations, no shortage of inspiration. Thank you for sharing this prompt to enjoy the act of bringing more play into our lives. I just thought that was so cool. Like, the idea of just creating a mandala or making a little fairy house. That's something I've never really done in nature. I'm sure a lot of people have done it, but I just really enjoyed that suggestion. Like, that is right up my alley. And now that I live upstate and there's just more nature and I go on walks with the dogs, etc., I definitely want to do that. So thank you so much, Jessica, for sending in that DM with that suggestion. Yeah, so cool. So maybe I will do that. And the next time I do, I'll take a little picture and post it on the EXO Higher Self Instagram. That might be cute. As far as other playthings, I did think of something that I realized I actually do, and I wanted to share it because it's kind of silly. And maybe it's not so like spiritual or, I don't know, mature or artistic or anything like that. But one of my favorite things to do is to curate like a playlist on TikTok of funny videos and then rewatch them with my partner. So basically, like on TikTok, I've really curated my algorithm highly to be like only wholesome, only funny stuff. I'm very particular about it. I swipe through anything that's too serious there because I save all of my serious social media experiences for Instagram. And that's also the place where I do like work, obviously. And I take in political information there as well. But on TikTok, I've really kept it simple because I need a space where I'm just like entertained by funny things and wholesome things like dog videos and stuff. So one of the things that I really like to do is save the videos that are really funny. And then after some time, I will like tell Kara that I have got some videos for them to watch, and then we'll lay in bed and I'll play them for Kara, and then I'll laugh with them and then watch them laugh at the ones that I saved. And yeah, okay, this is kind of like a social media. Maybe it's not the best version of this, but I have to say, I get a lot of joy and pleasure out of it. I think there's just so many funny people out there in the world, and it's really inspiring, and there's just so much like wholesome love out there. And I'm lucky because I have really curated my algorithm to be mostly positive things. So this is something that I do that's fun, and I laugh a lot, and it's silly, and I do consider it play. And I'm going to continue to discover new things as well. So if anybody else has any more ideas, I hope that some of y'all who have been listening have implemented some play in your lives as well. And just setting aside some time for pleasure and for joy and for a little bit of silliness. All right, on that note, let's get started on the questions. Subject: Am I the worst? Hi, Bunny. This is a wild little attempt, but my partner and I really are going through it right now, and I need advice. I lied and maintained an affair throughout our relationship, really destroying our trust and everything we had built. Obviously, they are questioning everything now because of how much I hurt them, and I am really trying to do better, but sometimes I still lie to try and protect their feelings. I try to be honest after and share everything, but it always feels like too little too late. I really don't want to hurt them anymore, and I know that loving them means letting them go if that's necessary. I just want to grow beside them so much. I feel my own growth happening daily as I engage with your posts and journal and read and begin having honest, open conversations with friends. But I don't want to be holding them back if they're only hurting. I feel like that's all I've been doing. Am I the worst for continuing to hang out with them every time they reach out? Hi, love. First, I want to say thank you for sending in this question and being honest about your experience. We have gotten a lot of questions about being hurt by a partner, but it's more rare to hear from the side of the person who did the cheating and the lying, and it's such an important part of healing and part of the story. To address your question, no, you are not the worst. You have been making choices that are not reflective of your higher self, but that is something that we all struggle with because we are all in the process of unlearning and healing. What is important right now is that you take steps to have a deeper understanding so you can see your path forward. Now, let's go back a bit to the actual having of the affair and the lying. What I didn't hear from you in your letter was any explanation or insight about what could have led you to make those choices to begin with. Why you lied, why you continued to lie, why you continue to lie now, why you chose to hide your honest feelings and your authenticity and continually put on a mask for the person that you love. Someone's inability to be honest in a relationship is not the desire to protect their partner's feelings. It's the desire to protect their own feelings, because being honest would force you to confront a part of yourself that you don't want to see, that you don't want to acknowledge and be accountable for. Now, I'm not your therapist and I can't get into your psyche, but I can tell you that the part of you that feels it necessary to hide your honest feelings and a part of yourself from the people that you love is often the result of wounding that happened way before this relationship. Perhaps you were raised in a home where you were taught that you needed to hide your true feelings for fear of shame or rejection. Perhaps you came from parental figures who often lied or hid things from each other, and this was the example of love you grew up with, and that deeply hurt you as a child, and this is some way of trying to fix that wound by no longer being the victim. Perhaps you are unhappy in your relationship, but unable to be honest with yourself about it and terrified of being alone because there is some other deep wounding you have been using these relationships as a distraction from. As cliche as it sounds, hurt people hurt people. We treat people the way we feel about ourselves, but often we are unconscious of that underlying motivation. I don't have those answers for you. Only you can unearth that for yourself, and that will take some healing work on your part, ideally with the support of a therapist or a counselor, someone with experience that can help guide you through these feelings. But without doing that inner work, even if the cheating stopped, I think you hiding a fundamental part of yourself from your loved ones would manifest in some other form, because it isn't primarily about the affair or being with other people. That is just a symptom of something going on within you. It's about you. It's about fearing the consequences of standing in your truth, no matter how messy that truth is. Our higher selves are who we are beyond our wounds and trauma, beyond our mistakes. Our higher selves are the part of us that knows we are whole. We have always been enough. We can be authentic and still be loved. We can have wounds and still be loved. Our higher selves give us the courage to be self-compassionate, to be accountable for our choices, and to really ask ourselves, what's going on here? What is it that I am really afraid of? Am I afraid of being unlovable? Not being enough? Being alone? Being rejected? And where did those fears come from? You are not a bad person. There is a deeper story here that you have been avoiding. Now, when it comes to your partner, you are absolutely right that sometimes in relationships, love calls us to let people go when we cannot give them what they need. Often the loving thing to do is let them go. I am not someone who thinks that cheating in a relationship means there is no way to heal the relationship, but I do think that it is incredibly difficult to heal that wound, and it takes an immense amount of work, both individually, separately, and as a couple. Again, ideally with the help of a therapist or counselor. It's important for you to understand that when someone you love violates the agreed upon boundaries of a relationship, that can be a traumatic experience. And every time you lie after that, you are re-traumatizing your partner. A relationship that is not honest is not a consensual relationship, meaning you are not giving your partner the ability to consent to being with you when you don't give them the complete truth. You strip them of their autonomy and their freedom, which is not loving. What your partner needs now more than anything is time to tend to their own hurt and sadness. They need support outside of the relationship. They need space to understand what they will need to heal and stay aligned with their own sense of self-worth. Sadly, despite the fact that when someone you love cheats on you, it isn't because of your inadequacy, what ends up happening is that the person that cheats is projecting their own fears of inadequacy onto you. And it becomes all too easy to take on that learned hierarchical belief that it must have happened because I wasn't enough. The most loving thing that you can do for your partner right now is to work on your own healing and have a deeper understanding of what motivated you to lie for all of this time. I promise you, as hard as this experience is, on the other side of your healing, you will have a better understanding of yourself, your wounds, and if a relationship is right for you at this point in your life. Your higher self doesn't want you to fear honesty in relationships, because you don't deserve that either. You don't deserve to have to hide, to lie, to feel guilty. You don't deserve to hold on to shame, to fear, to anxiety. A relationship should feel free. And when you hide things out of shame, you imprison yourself. And you don't deserve that, and neither does your partner. Your higher self doesn't want you to fear honesty in relationships, because what we need in relationships is based on where we are in the journey of our own healing. And those needs are always valid. Whatever you are going through is not shameful. All of us have wounds. All of us have behavior patterns and coping strategies that we realized were not serving us, and we had to unlearn them. This is the process of our awakening. But our wounds manifest differently. For some people, it really manifests heavy in romantic relationships. For other people, it manifests in other ways. But our wounds all show up in our lives. So if anybody listening here is like judging really harshly, like, listen, we are all dealing with the same stuff, but in different forms. And everybody makes mistakes until they learn how to more better treat themselves, how to give themselves more compassion, how to accept themselves more fully so that they can continue to be aligned with their higher self. The more we understand our wounds, the more we understand where our LHBs show up, the more freedom we create in our lives. This is a wake-up call, but you can do this. I believe in you. Hello, EXO Higher Self fam. It's Bunny here. I am so thrilled to announce my debut book, Hello Higher Self, An Outsider's Guide to Loving Yourself in a Tough World, is now available for pre-order. This book is the essential manual for unlearning your limiting beliefs that have been ingrained in you by the toxicity of our culture and your trauma and your socialization. We all have to unlearn this stuff so we can channel the power of our higher self. And everyone who pre-orders this book will receive a special free gift from me to be announced shortly. So hurry to the pre-order link in the show notes and get yourself a copy. I cannot wait for you to read it. Okay, next question. Dear Bunny, first of all, thank you so much for your platform. I've been listening to you since 2020, and now I really need your advice. I'm a black woman, 23, and I met this white man, 49, at a Saturday market when I was out with friends a couple months ago. I mention this because there are dynamics of age, race, gender, and income in this situation, which make it all the harder to grapple with. It was a happy day for everyone when we met, and things started off quite fun and innocent. He had initiated the conversation, and my friends encouraged me to get his number at the end because he was very attractive after all. Silver fox energy. And he was funny. And he is also very rich. He drives a Lamborghini. 4 months passed, and I bumped into him again, so I took it as a sign to text him so we could finally go out. For our first date, he picked me up in his fancy sports car, took me to an exclusive restaurant that his friend owns, and then we ended the night going to the casino to gamble. He gave me the cash we had won on that night. Of course, being an overly trusting 23-year-old, a recent graduate from university whose dating history has mostly been with guys in their 20s too, this was super new and exciting for me. It seemed like a Xanadu awaiting me with this man. Things took a sharp left. On the second time we met after that exhilarating first date, he mentioned that he wanted to make love to me. He said this over and over. Eventually, we went to his office showroom and there we had sex, although I wasn't too happy about this. It was way too soon, the dynamics between us way too vast, and the situation way too pressured. Long story short, he dumped me over the phone with lame excuses like, financially, it's not a good time for him to date. Which is weird because I never received anything from him, not even a box of chocolates. How I took it was that as soon as he got what he wanted from me, I was just as good as nothing. I felt taken advantage of. I felt fetishized. His Instagram following is of hundreds of black women, girls, and models who look just like me. No joke. This also triggered a deep history of sexual assault that I have because I felt like I couldn't happily consent to that moment. Moreover, I felt scammed by this man for believing that he could spoil me or take me places. But perhaps that was my own naivete that built these expectations. So I called him out on this. I sent him a strongly worded message and then blocked him. But I can't help but feel like I should reach out to him to apologize for some of the harsh words I said. But then it almost feels like I'm being empathetic and kind, which I try and always be, to someone who quite literally doesn't deserve it. A part of me feels like I burnt a bridge with someone that could help me later on in life, but it also feels like I'm just holding on to potential and my own hopes. I also thought that sending that message to hurt him back would make me feel better, but I still feel so angry. How do I move on from this? Especially since I won't ever know what he said to my message because I blocked him. Thank you again, Bunny. I needed to get this off my chest. Hi, love. I'm so sorry this happened and it's feeling really shitty. All of your feelings are valid. Your anger, your frustration, your confusion, your triggers, all of it. And feeling your feelings is a necessary part of this process. You're processing what happened. And even though that's unpleasant, this is very necessary. It's necessary for you to feel all of this stuff. First of all, anyone who pressures you into a sexual encounter is not respecting your autonomy and does not have consent. Consent is affirmation that is given freely without pressure or intimidation. So that was a major violation of your boundaries and it should not have happened. And I am so sorry that you went through that. I also want to say that your intuition that this person might have been fetishizing your blackness is absolutely valid. And as horrible as that is, it's not that rare in a world that upholds white supremacy, as you know, and colorism, and needs so much more healing. And I'm so sorry that this was part of your experience. In my opinion, you do not owe this person an apology. And there was nothing wrong with you speaking your feelings, speaking your truth, and blocking him. You didn't speak your truth to hear what he had to say. You spoke your truth because you needed to have a voice in the situation, and you did. Your instinct to block him after that was the correct one. It was an instinct to protect yourself. But you needed your voice to be heard, and you spoke it. And no, it didn't make you feel immediately better, because that's not what it was about. It wasn't about fixing it. It was about having a voice. It was about allowing yourself to acknowledge the treatment that was happening. We don't know what's going on in his mind. We don't know much of anything about him. And I know appearances can say a lot, but they also don't say everything. So yeah, he might have a Lamborghini right now, but who knows what his situation is? I'm just saying, like, you never know with people. You never know. He could be in like so much debt, you know? He could have a double life. He could just, there's so much that could be true. And it's like, honestly, is not worthy of your time. What we do know is that his treatment of you was not reflective of your value or respect. And I am happy that you are no longer going to be seeing him and will no longer see him. I'm happy because that is how you protect your happiness, your peace, and your safety. Please do not be hard on yourself for having been through this. You walked into the situation with an open mind and an open heart. You were trying to have some fun, have an exciting experience, and make a good connection. And there is nothing wrong with that. You didn't do anything wrong. But that doesn't mean you can't learn from this experience, right? Because that's what we do. We take these experiences and we grow from them. Part of connecting to our higher selves is seeing how our culture and society are largely organized around learned hierarchical beliefs, or LHBs, and we talk about this a lot on this podcast. From a young age, we are socialized to see ourselves and each other from a fundamental belief that there is a hierarchy of human worth and that a person's value depends on where they stand in that hierarchy based on things like economic or social status, race, body image, etc. The reason why we need to become aware of how LHBs influence our perspective is because this illusion is a cultural construct and it does not represent our true value. In fact, it is barriers to becoming aware of our true value. We are born whole and every person has value for who they are, not what they have or how they look or any other arbitrary measurement perpetuated by an oppressive culture. Now, when it comes to dating, we might not think this is a place where our LHBs color our perspective, but it absolutely is. In my book, Hello Higher Self, I dedicate a whole chapter on dating and how LHBs color our experience, from the often dehumanizing experience of dating apps to ghosting to who we are attracted to and why we are attracted to them. When we think of attraction, we don't often realize that the biases that our culture conditions us influence who we are attracted to and if we see ourselves as attractive or not. For example, you might be attracted to someone because they have a lot of money. And you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with being attracted to someone for how much money they have. But it's important to ask yourself, am I attracted to their money because I think being with them will make me better, will make me feel better than myself, somehow uplifts me, somehow makes me more worthy or better than other people? And that's where we fall into trouble. In other words, LHBs make us feel like we are inherently lacking and who we date can fulfill that lack somehow. Give us more status or value or importance based on the status or importance we see in them. LHBs also have us judging our own value based on a hierarchical perspective. Maybe we think we're not good enough because our body is a certain shape. Or maybe we think we're not good enough for some person because somebody is better than us. And that's why they stopped seeing us, because they're actually more worthy than we are, when it's really just a compatibility issue. So LHBs really keep us in this vision, this prison of looking at everything, comparing everybody in terms of a hierarchy. And when we're so focused on that, we actually miss out on authentic connection. We actually miss out on what our higher selves are attracted to. Now, I'm not saying we need to be attracted to everyone, or everyone should be attracted to us because everyone has value. I'm saying that as people on the path of our higher self, we need to look within and question why we are attracted to certain traits, and if that actually isn't helping us value ourselves. Because when LHBs are coloring our perspective, it's easy to make choices that don't represent how worthy we truly are, right? If we see somebody as having more status because they have money, we might, do something where in another person it would have been a red flag, but we overlook it because we think they have more status. Or maybe we think, it's better to date somebody that looks this certain way or is this race or is this because that's what my family expects of me. And then we end up missing out on what could be a potentially good match because we're worried about what other people will think. So LHBs show up in our dating life. And our dating life is not a place where we don't also do the same unlearning, the same inner work. It doesn't mean you have to be attracted to everybody. Again, what I'm saying is that part of our healing is bringing this stuff to our awareness so that we can make conscious choices. We can make choices that are reflective of our value, where we are grounded in our wholeness, where we know in our hearts we're good enough, no matter what happens. No matter if some guy ends up being a total jerk, okay, well, his loss. This is where our higher selves can really help us in the dating world. Like, so important. You are so beautiful. You are sacred. You are a divine being who is worthy of authentic and inspiring connections. Again, you are free to date whoever you want to and be attracted to whoever you want to, right? This isn't about a moral hierarchy either. But I want you to be grounded in your worth. And I want you to look for that same kind of realness in other people. Because that is what this is really about. That is what connection is really about. All the other stuff is just extra fluff, right? It's just extra fluff. And I don't mean it has to be like serious either. I mean, this is like, authentic connection. That's how you have fun. That's fun, right? That's how you are with your friends. You have fun with your friends because you feel seen by them, because you feel safe in their presence, because they really see you and respect you and know your worth. This is what I'm talking about. And this is what we keep in mind as we go out and we date and we meet people. We're looking for authenticity, not surface level, right? Because you have so much depth. You have so much depth. And I'm really sorry that this happened. And I want you to continue to give yourself grace as you heal. Talk to people. It might be good for you to talk to like a therapist or counselor about your experience if that's helpful. I'm always pro that. I mean, I'm pro that no matter what. I'm always pro getting all the healing tools that we have access to. I'm always about that because there's a lot that we're dealing with. There's our experiences, there's society, there's a lot of pressure, so as much help as we can get. But I want you to know that you are your higher self. You are whole, you are divine, and you can continue to let your light shine. And this experience is just going to help you get more in touch with that and own that. As you move forward, as you get older, as you continue to date and you continue to meet people and you continue to have authentic connections and you continue to have fun. All right, babe, I'm sending you so much love. Take care. The dating thing is so difficult, because we're constantly being challenged. And dating apps don't help either because they're like, here, look at this quick picture and make a judgment on somebody real fast based on this. You know, it's like the culture is just, it's hard to hang on to your higher self. And we need those tools. We need to become more self-aware. We need to understand our motivations and what's going on underneath this. And in my book, in the dating chapter, I really go into practical guides about dating from the perspective of your higher self, how to stay grounded in your higher self when you're out there, when you're meeting people, even when you're swiping. So if you're out in the dating world and you're feeling a bit lost, a bit uneasy, I've been there. I also tell a lot of stories about some of the things that I went through in the book. So make sure to pre-order Hello Higher Self. And I hope that you find that helpful too. All right, my loves, we are now at the time of the episode where I share our weekly higher self mantra. I really like this week's mantra because it's simple, but it's definitely so important. And yeah, okay, so here we go. This week's higher self mantra is, today I am going to let my light shine. Today, I am going to let my light shine. I love this mantra. I really do. It's so like, it really gets you into your body. It really, just like close your eyes if you can right now. Just close your eyes and say it with me. Today, I am going to let my light shine. Oh, it's so juicy. It's just like, wow, we're so expansive. We block our own light. We do it all the time because we're so in our head. You know, it's like we're so just like trapped in our head. And then it's like, wait a minute. Boom. No, I'm like, oh, I have this power, this love, this grace, this divinity within me. And I'm going to let it out. I'm going to feel my own light. I'm going to let it shine. Doesn't mean anybody even has to be around me, but like what you're doing is you're sending it out energetically. Feel it shine. Nobody benefits from you diminishing your light. Nobody. Especially not you. You do not have to hide. Today, I am going to let my light shine. Bitches! I'm just kidding. Okay, that was silly. Sorry. But yes, there's the mantra. I love you so much, and so does your higher self. Take care this week. I'm sending you so much love and hugs and kisses, and I will see you very soon. Okay, take care. Bye. If you have a question that you would like to be featured on the podcast, you can write us an email or record a voice memo and send it to xohigherself@gmail.com. For bonus content, including early access to weekly episodes, ad-free episodes, and bonus episodes, be sure to sign up on our Patreon as a subscriber at patreon.com/exohigherself. Or if you listen to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app, you can easily sign up as an Apple subscriber on our show page and get access to that same bonus content. Thanks, y'all. This podcast is recorded in Kingston, New York, and produced by Kara Gilvey and me, Bunny Michael. Original music and sound mixing by Michael Bihari.